right. Well, it's awesome in this place today. God bless you. You're dismissed. I think the Lord's already done the work. It's really amazing. I love it when God shows up and he has identified, because he's God, some needs that are in the house, and then there's the opportunity to that those people's lives will be changed. And oftentimes what we do in the house of God is we get in such a hurry that we miss what God is doing and what God is saying. And so here's something I want to say to you. There's a lot of distractions going on in our lives today. And in the midst of all of this that's going on, I just felt in my heart this morning that I would need to say this, because I know that this week I've battled with a lot of distractions. I was saying this morning to someone that this week I got to sit down and just kind of get a plan, because I got all kinds of things going, and so I'm over here, and I'm supposed to be over there, and I'm over there, and I'm supposed to be over here, and over here, and I'm supposed to be over there. And before long, your day is just all gone out. Time out. Let's take some time for the Lord in our life. Amen. If we ever needed the Lord in our life, it is now. Amen. Okay? And the word of the Lord says the Father will lead us, and he will guide us. He'll give us all wisdom. We need the wisdom of God to navigate through these things that we're navigating through. And I just want to help you know this. You can't do this on your own. And guess what? The good part is you don't have to. I think we're going to give the Lord a clap of praise for that right now. And so I just want you to know, to be comforted in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, that God is about getting up in your stuff and helping you out. And he knows. He knows the beginning from the end. So let's take some time to invite the Lord into our hearts, into our house, into our mind, into our spirit, so that he can speak to us and show us his goodness and show us his good pleasure. And he loves you so much. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord loves you greatly. The Lord loves you bunches. Amen. And he's wanting to fix some stuff. Everybody say, fix some stuff. You know what? I've been trying for 52 years to fix me. I'm still broke. I know. Y'all, we got some perfect people, but I'm still broke. How many is broke?
Yeah.
Come on. All you unreal people, it's time for the altar right now. We just go ahead and have an altar call of honesty. We have brokenness in our life. We have fragments in our life. We have pieces in our life. Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge the way we do? Golf clap on that one. Yeah. Aren't you glad that God looks beyond our faults? He sees our needs and he gives us the answers. Amen. 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 And I'm thankful for that. This morning, I know there's a lot of, in your life, a lot of, even if you're not flooded, I know there's a lot of conversations in your home life and in your work life and all of your life, with all, in the midst of all of this aftermath of this flood, a lot of confusion, and our days are being filled with FEMA stories and insurance claims, and what are we going to do next? And I just want to assure you, that God is even in the middle of that. And he knows our needs before we ever pray. But he wants us to pray. He wants us to take the time in our lives to communicate with him, sit down with him, have that place of visitation with him. He loves that. So today I want to encourage you again, even though it does not look all that great, God has not forgotten you. He's here to help you. He wants to help you rebuild what has been destroyed. Amen. Amen. And he's already did a quick work in this house this morning. Now, I told myself this morning I wasn't going to preach very long. Does anybody have faith? So, oh, ye of little faith. So let me get started with this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to kind of move around, and it may feel a little bit like I'm talking about two things, but when I end, I'll kind of bring it all back together and package it together for you. Psalms 27. This passage of Scripture in Psalms 27 is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture throughout the whole Scripture. Now, the reason that is not because it's better than the other Scriptures in the Bible, but when I was walking through a very, very difficult time in my life, I had a friend who said, listen, I want you to get Psalms 27, and I want you to learn it, recite it, say it over and over and over again. And so this Scripture has become very dear to me. How many has a Scripture like that in your life that you know it's, that the Bible's, everything in the Bible is good, but there's one passage of Scripture that is marked in your life that's, and today I just want to go back to that passage of Scripture that says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Well, what is there to fear? What is there to fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? What in my life do I have to be fearful of? And we could list a whole bunch of stuff in our life, this and this and that. And, you know, we could talk about friends and family and marriages and this and that and all the different things that are going on in the atmosphere. But we can say, I look to the Lord who is faithful. Everybody say faithful.
Faithful.
No, I want you to shout faithful.
Faithful.
He's faithful. He's constant. He knows all things. He sees the beginning from the end. And I've said this, if you've been in this church more than two visits, you've heard me say this. Because this is such a powerful thing, and you're going to hear me say it a million more times. He knew you before the worlds were framed. You don't think God knows where you're at today? Oh, yes, He does. He knows, and He's right up in the middle of it. He hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't left you. How many of you ever went through a time in your life where you felt like God was a million miles away? You may be going through a time right now where you feel that God's a million miles away. I just want to assure you this morning, you have nothing to be afraid of. He is faithful. When the evildoers assail me and eat up my flesh, my adversary and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Whatever's coming against me is about to fall. Whatever's rising up against me is in trouble. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, this I will be confident. Look at your neighbor and say, be confident. Be confident. God's got your back. Just be confident in that. I wish people walk out of here today with their, like, yes, Lord. Bring it on. Yes, Lord. I can do all things through Christ. Yep, come on. Somebody flex a little bit. I'm confident. I'm feeling like I got my head up. I got my head up. Somebody says, how you doing? I'm doing awesome. And they say, you're lying. No, I'm not lying, because my confidence is not in my surroundings. My confidence is in God. He's a good God. We need to flex our spiritual muscles in this season of our life, because people around us who may not know or have the comfort of the Holy Spirit working in their life need us to be the comfort of the Holy Spirit walking into the room. So if we walk in and we enter into their woe, we can't bring peace into that. We have to have confidence in God. And we walk into the room and we say, He's a good God. He's not going to forsake you. And He's going to show up in your life. Well, how do you know that? Well, David said, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He said, I remember when a lion came after me, I slaughtered a lion. I remember when a bear came after me, I slaughtered a bear. So there's no way that God's going to let me down in this next event in my life. Amen. I've got confidence in God. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I may seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all, everybody say this with me, all the days of my life. So that means that y'all bring your cots, we're just going to stay right here. No, we've become the house of the Lord. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to live in the presence of God.
Yes.
I'm going to get up tomorrow, and when I get up, I'm going to be in God's presence, and God's going to do extraordinary things in my life tomorrow. I'm living in that place. I don't visit that place. I don't go there. I'm living in that place. All the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He's going to hide me in a secret place, in the shelter, in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, I never noticed it. Like a little kid, I was around this little kid the other day. And when they didn't know me, so they felt a little uncomfortable, they went and got behind Dad and hid behind Dad. And I thought, that's how we need to be with God. When times get tough, we're not fearful, but we just go get behind Dad because we know Dad's going to take care of business. I say this, don't take what I say out of context. I'm not going to worry, I can't depend upon the federal government. Listen, you can't even always depend, let me just be real, let's just, somebody say get real. You can't always depend on who you think is your friends. Amen. I could go back and pick up Job's story last week. When Job was in trouble, here come his friends, and they were like on the devil's side. He's like, thanks for the word of encouragement. Even his wife was hanging her ugly head out the window saying, I don't mean ugly as in looks, her ugly attitude. Hanging her ugly attitude out the window and saying, Job, you're doomed. Just curse God and die. Thanks for the word of encouragement. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I have to go to the rock of my salvation. I have to go where I know that he's faithful and say, hey, listen, even in the storm, even in the rain, even in this whatever's going on in my life, God is faithful. And he's not going to let me down. So I'm going to hide in that secret place. And in that secret place is not just a place to hide where you're like, we just said don't be afraid. So it's not that running in fear kind of hide. It's that running in confidence kind of hide that he has got your back. He's covering you. I'm not running and just hiding because I'm fearful. I'm running and hiding because God is for me. Say amen. Hide in the shelter. He would conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on the rock. Now my head shall be lifted up above all of my enemies all around me. And I will offer in the tent a sacrifice of shout and joy. And I will sing and make melody to the Lord. He said, when I get in the tent, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm scared. I'm getting in the tent and I'm doing like, Daddy's got it. Woo, I'm feeling good. I'm shouting praises unto God because I know that God has got all of this taken care of. He's good. So I'm in a place of rejoicing. Hear the Lord when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me. Answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I do seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. It don't matter who's left you, God's taken us up. Amen. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of mine enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversary, for false witnesses shall rise against me, and they breathe out violence. Even when false, listen, let me just say this to you. If you're ever going to truly live for God, you're going to have times where you feel like people abandon you. And they're going to say things that ain't true about you. It don't matter. Love them. And keep on trucking. God's in control of this situation. He loves you. I don't want to hear that, Pastor. Well, that's a reality. And the reality is, if we put our trust in man, we're gonna be in bad shape. I'm sorry, that's not a very encouraging word, but it's true. I believe that it shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. What does that mean, to wait on the Lord? Let me just, this is deep. I'm going to take you some deep theological stuff right here. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Just wait. We have a hard time with that. And so we get ahead of God, and they wonder why God's doing this. Well, because you're way ahead of God. And he said, just wait. Just wait. And I want to speak to you right now in this time that sometimes we need to stop and wait to hear what God is speaking. What are you saying, God? I'm just going to go to the right. I'm going to go to the left. I'm going to be obedient to God and wait on the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord. There's a place that we can go to find peace and refuge that is greater than anything else in this world. And I'm going to say this today because there's not a lot of places that we can run that, matter of fact, there is no place that we can run that really brings true peace except for the Lord. You can have a momentary place that feels good, but there's really no real place to live except for in the presence of God that has real peace. And so when we run to the Lord, you see, peace of God that passeth all understandings doesn't say that it takes you out of your situation. You're in your situation, but you're not. But God's given you peace in your storm. I maybe shouldn't use the word storm today because we're all thinking about the rain. I'm just talking about your life. And I said this last Sunday, and I think sometimes we miss this. There's other storms that are happening in our world besides this storm. Right? There were storms in our life before there was ever a drop of rain. And tomorrow, there's going to be other storms in our life that have nothing to do with the flood. Matter of fact, some of the storms that are involved in our life are greater than the flood. I got like, you don't know how I feel right now. I understand. But what I'm saying is let's just get captured in this one moment, because this moment will be over. There's people said after Katrina, New Orleans will never be the same. But New Orleans is thriving. It came back. Our life will never, no. Life is going to go on. But here's the deal. If we have this confidence in God where we're living, it doesn't matter what comes our way. We can stand with confidence in God knowing that everything's going to be all right. Let me move on. I'm just going to run through this today because I could get this off my mind this week. And so I just got to share this with you. I kept thinking about Nehemiah all week long, like from last Sunday. Last Sunday, the Lord started speaking about Nehemiah. So I've read the entire book of Nehemiah through several times. Now, I know for all you Bible scholars, I want to just clarify this, okay? If you've read the book of Nehemiah, you know that the reason the walls of Jerusalem was torn down is because that they had sinned against God. And so God allowed the walls of Jerusalem to be torn down. So I'm not telling you that. So don't try to relate that God sent the storm to Baton Rouge. I'm not saying that. Okay, so I want to clarify that because I know some people are like, God is judging Baton Rouge, you know. I heard people say, God was judging Katrina. I said, well, he missed because Bourbon Street never closed. So, I mean, he's a bad shot. So I'm not even trying to say that. I'm just simply saying that in the midst of all of this, God is alive and well, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. So Nehemiah sees, the scripture says in Nehemiah 1 and 3 said, and the walls of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates were destroyed by fire. And when Nehemiah hears of the destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, the first order of business was to find a place of prayer where he could align himself with God. And he began to pray and fast and seek the face of God. The first order of our business when we see destruction ought to be, what are you speaking, God? What are you saying? God, I want to get involved in your plan. I want to get involved in what you're doing. I want to get involved in seeking your face and knowing what you're speaking. Can I just, for a few minutes, tell you the importance of how much we need to understand and we need to get ourselves in alignment with what God is doing. We need to make sure, and listen to me today, I'm talking about your personal life. We need to make sure that we go before the Lord and we say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, wash my heart clean, and Lord, transform my mind. Well, Pastor, I can't think of anything I've been sinning and doing. Well, listen, I think we have sometimes the sin of omission as much as anything, just not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody smile at Pastor. I'm still pastoring. Sometimes it's not what we did, it's what we haven't done. Anybody with me today? And so we have to sometimes stop along this journey and say, okay, God, I'm getting into alignment. It's not that God's saying, hey, just because you have these things in your life that are not just right, that he's automatically throwing us into hell and saying, I don't care about you. I'm not even talking about it. The grace of God is on our life. I'm just simply saying, when we get into alignment with God, we have a better understanding of what God is saying. And so sometimes we have to realign. I could use all kinds of analogies for that, but I think you got what I'm saying. To make sure that we have everything out of the way, and there's nothing blocking or hindering us from hearing from God, what God is saying. I was telling someone the other day, a pastor friend of mine, I said, you know, sometimes, even and this is everybody, this is your pastor, this is every man of God, this is every woman of God. Sometimes in our life, we can get so We could be doing the right thing. We could be doing the right thing and not be in alignment. Now, let me help you with that. Because God's wanting to take us in a place and we're stuck over here because we got so much going on in our life. We're not hearing the direction of the Lord. And sometimes even in our busyness of doing the right thing, we need to pause for that moment, which I shared with you just a minute ago, for that voice of God to speak into our life. We need his voice in this hour. And it helps us keep a pure heart and a pure mind. And it makes room for an open heaven. You know, when your heart's pure and your mind's clear, you got room for an open heaven above your head. Anybody get that today? Can I just get some nods maybe? That will work. Just give me some nods. All right. I want to know you're hearing what I'm saying. So when we get all this alignment right, we get a channel of open heaven from God, God speaking to us. How important is that in our lives? Every single day of our life. You know what I want more than anything else in my life? It would be nice to have the things, you know? It'd be nice to have whatever, money, cars, those are fine. I'm not preaching against those things. But what's more important in our life is to have the Lord involved in every part of my life. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I'm just going to get real transparent with you this morning. I can just go through some of the avenues of my life. Raising kids. I got that. I can do that. Boy, I wish I would have done more praying about that. I wish I'd have done more listening to God about those things. I got great kids. I'm not, because God's good and gracious. But I sure wish that I would have had more of hearing the voice of God and less reaction. Is anybody here this morning? I wish that in pastoring a church that I would have had more waiting time on God and less reaction. See, what we do is, and my dad said, you know, my dad would always say this to me. He said, son, it's not other people's actions that matter. It's your reaction. And oftentimes we react to things. We're reacting instead of waiting on God and then positioning ourselves for what God is wanting to do that's better than we can even come up with. So we're reacting instead of having our a clear understanding. Wouldn't it be so awesome just to get up and just know where you're going, what you're doing, and everything's taken care of, instead of reacting to what pressures we feel in life? Let me just kind of bring this down a little narrow. I'm just going to use an analogy. You put this anywhere in your life you want to. You fill in the blank. I'm trying to think of something that... Before you go buy a car, talk to the Lord about that. Don't go buy the car and then ask the Lord to pay the bill. Now you put that word in another slot, wherever it works in your life. Maybe you want to be married. Maybe you should pray about that before you marry that person. Maybe you want to meet some new friends. Maybe say, God, direct me. Direct me. I told my daughter the other day, she's going to a new school, big school. Went from private school to public school. I said, hey, baby, just pray for God to direct your path to the friends he wants you to have. Amen. Trust the Lord. You don't have to be Miss Bubbly, outgoing, popularity. You just got to be who God called you to be. Amen? Now, I'm going to be, Pastor will be real with us. A few years ago, I said, hey, put on a smile, be happy, walk in there and make friends with everybody and be joyful and you know, because I don't meet any strangers, so be like me. Because if you're like me, everybody's your friend. I don't have any enemies. I really don't. Somebody said, oh, I know some people that don't like you. I said, well, don't tell me because I don't care because I don't have any enemies. I like everybody. Everybody, right? Instead, it's, Lord, I'm going to wait on you because you got a better plan for my life. I'm going to wait. I'm going to be still and know that you're God. Are y'all with me today? I'm hurrying. I got 5 more minutes. Don't believe that. That was a lie. Forgive me. So Nehemiah, because he had a pure heart and he was in the right place and he was the cupbearer. Let me tell you about the cupbearer. I want to share this with you today because the cupbearer is very significant in this passage of Scripture. Why did that get mentioned in Scripture that Nehemiah was the cupbearer? I'm going to tell you why. Because Nehemiah was trusted and had integrity. And for him to have that high position meant that you have to be trusted and you had to have integrity. You had to be trustworthy. Because you know what he was doing? He was giving the king his drink. And the king needed to know that the cupbearer was poisoning the drink.
Right.
Right? So he was next to the king. He was every day giving the king, here, old king, here's your drink. And he was giving the king his drink. And so he had integrity. Let me help you today. When you want to get in a position to be used greatly by God, the first thing you need to do is be a servant and have integrity. Amen. That was a good word. And so then because he was those things, that when this rebuilding the wall came up in his life and he's like, okay, God, I'm getting a vision for this wall building thing. He had authority because when he went to the king said, hey, I trust you. I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to let you go do what you feel you're called to do. I'm going to give you this permission to go. And so he begins doing that. And then the next thing that happens, this is where I'm going to talk about unity for just a moment, then I'm going to move on. As he begins to build the wall, you'll notice for the next few chapters, in chapter 3, there's just a ton of names. And I would read that to you, but I can only say about 3 out of the 40 names. And so there's this ton of names of ton of people that began to see the vision and they began to come alongside. You need to tell you something. God never created you to do it by yourself. And God will give other people the vision when you step up and say, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to rebuild. I'm waited on the Lord. I've gone through the process. I first went to the prayer room. I first got my orders from God. Now I'm going to do the work. And then all of a sudden, all these people joined forces with you, and they began to do their part in rebuilding the wall. Unity is very powerful. We need a revival of unity like never before. Now, before you say anything, I do realize that right now that people's helping everybody is helping everybody. But I'm not talking about just working. I'm talking about heartfelt unity. Now, let me show you this. This is what the Lord spoke to me. People came together during Katrina, and everybody served and helped each other. And then when it kind of started coming together, everybody went back to their little camps. What would happen if we had a revival of the body of Christ that would have true unity and love for one another? Let's bring it down a little bit smaller. What would happen in this house right here if we had a revival of unity among us? Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning. I was standing right back there, and the Lord began to speak to me. And I think it's very significant that you understand this. I told Matt, I said, the Lord spoke to me that we have some heart problems in our house that need to be corrected. Are anybody missing what I'm saying?
No.
The Lord gave Michelle a word.
Amen.
At 6:30 this morning about heart transplant.
Amen.
It's so important, people, that our heart is in the right place. So important. Because if our heart's not in the right place, we'll be doing and we'll burn out from the doing, and then we'll then we'll be bitter.
That's good.
Right. Thank you, Rick. That is a good word. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, I just said a good word. That's a good word. Because what we're going to happen is we're going to get, we can get so all amped up about our thing, but when it's over, where will we be? Listen, I'm just going to say this today. There's something that God hates really bad, and that's disunity.
Amen.
You know why God hates disunity so bad? It's not because God wants us to always have, come up here, Pastor Tim. It's not because God always wants us to have some kind of kumbaya love fest. You know, oh, you're so precious. You're so wonderful. That's not what God is even talking about. Listen, yeah, everybody shave your head, look like Tim. My head's ugly. I ain't ever going to do that. I'll wear a wig first. And so everybody shaved. Everybody looked like unity. Unity. You got a pretty head. I was talking about my head. Everybody. But listen, sometimes unity is the ability to disagree and still love.
That's exactly right.
And we disagree a lot.
But I'm right. And so here's the deal. In the midst of disagreement, if you got a unified heart, you're never going to fall out of love. Thank you. I'm glad somebody recognized it. It's a good word. How many folks in here today can say, I'm in love with the Lord with all my heart? Come on. That was a trick question, because if you're truly in love with the Lord, you're in love with his people. That was so good the baby started crying. If you're truly in love with God, you're truly in love with his children. Come on, somebody. And so you shouldn't have any problem working alongside your brother or your sister in the Lord. And you shouldn't have any problem when the crisis of life comes and you're not reacting, but you're obedient to God, doing what he's called you to do. That there's a spirit of unity that breaks every stronghold. When Nehemiah set the example. By the way, if you go read chapter 3, the first people to show up was the high priest. I want to talk to all the preachers and ministry people in the room today. Don't stay at home and preach if you ain't doing nothing.
Amen.
Ooh, that went over bad. If you don't have a heart to serve, God's not going to use you.
Amen.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Amen.
Today. Come down off your high horse.
Amen.
Come down off your high horse and pick up a tool and begin to rebuild the wall. Man. Woo. A little heart surgery there. So Nehemiah began to build. And so the next thing that happens is he starts facing opposition. You're always going to face opposition. Let me tell you something I don't understand about the church today. We have become so politically correct and such a bunch of whiny babies. If we raise any opposition comes, we quit. Everybody smile at Pastor. I'm preaching really good today. I'm helping you. Any opposition that comes on in our life, bail. Oh, well, I feel this opposition. Well, get over it. There's going to be opposition. You know what first opposition came in their life? Is what kind of wall you going to build? I bet the foxes are going to knock that little wall over y'all trying to build. Y'all don't have the skills to do that. And when it was, it didn't work in the verbal, then they started taking up swords and want to go to fight. But Nehemiah didn't stop building the wall. He just wouldn't got a word from God. You know what he did? He took two teams, because here's what unity does. One team stood with swords in their hands to fight the opposition, and the others kept building the wall. Are y'all with me today? He said, look, y'all stand guard, we'll build. We'll stand guard, y'all build. But we're not going to stop building the wall. We're not going to stop building the church that God has called us to build. We're not going to stop doing the things that God has called us to do. We've heard a voice from God, and we're not letting opposition take us out. That's a good word. And so we're going to stay in this till it's finished. Now look what he says at the end of that. Our God will fight for us. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it ain't even your battle. God's got you. Heather, you can come. God is in the middle of all this. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. And your life will change. God is good. God is faithful. And there's a rebuilding that's going on. But let me tell you something. The Lord said to me this week, if we miss it, we can't miss it. We can't miss it. I felt like the Lord talked to a group of pastors after Katrina and said for us to invade New Orleans with the gospel like never before. And to be honest with you, I feel like we missed it. I really do. God's grace is on us. He still loves us. But I feel like we missed our opportunity. I'm saying whatever's going on in your life, it may not be the flood, it may not be a Katrina, it may be just something else going on. Don't miss what God's trying to say to you. Don't get so caught up and so busy with all the things of life that you miss it, because God has got you right where you're supposed to be. You're in the right place and you're there at the right time. And out of the ashes is going to come the greatest revival ever. You say, well, Pastor, how can you guarantee that? Because I'm going to have a revival. Say to yourself today, I'm going to have a revival in my life. I'm going to have a revival. I'm going to be the move of God. I'm going to get in a position where lives and situations can be changed. Because you know what? God's called me to do it. And God's called you to do it. And we're in a great opportunity right now to see the greatness of God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. So, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Well, take a little time to find that place of prayer. Get your instructions. Get your download from God. Wait on the Lord to provide all that you need. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. I was out praying with a team that came from Tuscaloosa this week, and I noticed something that she said to every group of people we prayed for. I understand. She went through Katrina. She could relate to it. She said, but listen to me. It's like Jesus on the cross. There's that. You right now, you feel like you're just strung up on the cross. You're just there. And your friends are forsaking you, and people are forsaking you, and all the people that you've ministered to, all the people, they're gone, and you're just there. She said, don't forget this, though. There's going to be a burial, and there's going to be 3 days in the grave, but guess what? There's also going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a coming forth. There's going to be a coming forth, and we're going to live like we've never lived before. So why don't we just be real today? Because this is the heart of God today. Why don't we say, God, give me a new heart. This is my message today. That as I hide in the secret place of God, get my heart right. Get my place right in my heart. Let me find a place in a secret place to get alignment. Get this right. Say, Pastor, why are you preaching this today? It's because we're not moving backward. We're moving forward. This is not a step backwards. This is moving forward. Everybody say forward. Say God's got this. And we're moving forward. And there's greatness ahead of us. There's supernatural things ahead of us. I want you to say to yourself right now, God's not done with me. Matter of fact, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's greatness. And so I speak to all the down and out and all the enemy that wants to come in like a flood, and I say to the enemy today, get thee behind us. Get away. I say for all the prayer warriors today, why don't you grab up your sword? Why don't you stand guard today and start saying, hey, I'm gonna have a wall building tool in one hand, but I'm gonna have a sword in another. Devil, you better not come over here and try to mess with my wall building, because I'm gonna cut. I like doing that. Come on, that felt good to me. Cut your head off, devil. Allie, we're winners. Sam, we're winners. Ricky, we're winners. We're not losers, we're winners. And we got God on our side. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We're winners. Y'all feeling what I'm feeling this morning? I feel like I could run through a troop, leap over a wall. I feel God's power and strength in this house. He's already ministered. So much has already been done in His presence today. Let's stand.